Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Heavenly Grief. We would like to send our condolences to all the Shias around the world, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your griefs and sorrow, for these are the days of the anniversary of the martyrdom of our sixth Imam, Imam al-Sadiq, ruhi lahu al-fida. So I am your host, Habib Zatar, with you today, and with me is Sayyid Ali Musawi al-Jazairi. Sayyidina, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for coming.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brother Habib. I'm so glad and happy to be with you in this program.
Very happy to be with you, my brother, as well, in the remembrance of our Imam, Imam al-Sadiq. So, brothers and sisters, we wanted to talk about Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And before that, we were introducing something. We were giving an introduction. And we were stating that we should look at the lives of the Imam as one single person, a man who lived for 250 years. And we also stated that there was one significant goal that all of the Imam alayhim as-salam shared. And that was, you could say that ruling the people should be by a person who is was given right by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person who created us, the person who knows how to heal, you could say heal, our spiritual and political problems. And that is only available in the Prophet and his household. And that is why they try to introduce this idea, to emphasize on this idea to the people and companions of their time. Now, unfortunately, we stopped you right there, and we're very sorry for that, but our time finished, and we would like you to continue, our dear Sayyid.
Thank you very much, my brother Habib. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-Tahirin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters across the world. I hope that you are keeping well and doing well. And I have to offer my condolences firstly to the Imam of our time and secondly to you, dear followers of Ahlul Bayt. May God's peace and blessings be upon all of them. Thank you very much, my brother Habib, for summarizing the things that we shared with our brothers and sisters last session. It was a good summary that you offered and delivered. Okay, we said that the position of the spiritual leadership and directing is not separable from the position of the scientific leadership, and both are not separable from the position of the political and social leadership.
No to segregation.
Yes, of course. But the significant point that I want to put the finger of emphasis on as a conclusion that we are able to draw out of this precious and important introduction is that, considering the inseparability of the position of the social and political leadership and authority from the position of authority in religious sciences and in spirituality, we can come to this conclusion that if it had been proved for one of our a'imma that it was the most knowledgeable jurist of his own time, that he was the most authoritative resource of religious sciences, and he was the most spiritual and pious person and individual in his own time, it would have been proved that he is the most deserving person for the political and social leadership and authority as well. This is the conclusion that we are able to draw out of that introduction. Therefore, it's totally reasonable and logical that one of the aspects, one of the most prominent and significant aspects of the life of our A'imma would be this unceasing struggle to prove this fact that they are the ones who are the most knowledgeable people, are the most pious and the most spiritual people within the society, in order to come to this conclusion that they are the ones who are deserving the political and social leadership as well. It's for this very fact that the Umayyad and Abbasid caliphs always were afraid of this dignity and position and grandeur of our a'immah within the eyes of the people. They were afraid of their scientific and spiritual position within the eyes of the people. And they actually exerted any possible efforts in order to humiliate and belittle our a'immah in front of the public, in front of their companions, and even in front of the actually scholars of their own time?
I think this answers the question for many that claim and state and just wonder and ponder, why would the triumph rulers be so harsh to the Imam alayhi salam?
Yes, of course.
Why are they afraid of them?
Yes.
And I think that goes back to them really being in that status of knowledge, being in that status of capability of ruling, actually.
You see, according to this perspective, and throughout this perspective, we are able to analyze these actually oppressions and aggressions against our a'immah within their lifetimes. Yes? Because there was a rule and regulation first. What was that rule? Inseparability
between religion and states.
And states. Mm. This was the rule. And what was the instance of rule? Our a'immah. We are the ones who are the most knowledgeable and the most spiritual. So we are deserving the position of political and social because of this matter. They always were afraid. Other scholars, they didn't have their eyes
on the ruling.
You see, because of that, it happened. But let us come to the point and to the life of Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. You see, the struggles for power between Umayyad and Abbasid that were taking place within the lifetime of Al-Imam al-Sadiq offered him a suitable opportunity to embark upon a program of teaching and reform. So we can say that the scientific movement of Shia emerged in the age of Al-Imam al-Sadiq. May God's peace and blessings be upon him.
Thank you very much, Sayyidina. We have to go and take a short break. So brothers and sisters, please stay tuned to Heavenly Grief. And we would like to send our condolences to all the Shia around the world, for these are the days of the anniversary of the martyrdom of our sixth Imam, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. So please tune back in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you guys for tuning back in. We would like to send our condolences to all the Shias around the world, for these are the days of the anniversary of the martyrdom of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And with me today is Sayyid Ali Musawi. And Sayyidina, we were talking about the lives of the Imam alayhi salam in a whole, as like one person who lives 250 years, and that there's no segregation in Islam, and really the rightful thing to do is to not separate state from religion. Why? Because human beings are spiritual creations. And we reached to a point where we stated that by the Imam alayhi salam, how do they show that they are righteously the Khalifa, or righteously the people who should be sitting on the throne or ruling? And that is by showing their knowledge, their spiritual aspects. And because of that, because they rightly are in that way, the triumph rulers of the time were closing on them.
Yes, of
and
course.
I think we reached to a point where we were stating that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was a little bit different.
Yes, of course.
Why? Because it was the end of one rulership and the beginning of another.
Yes.
And we stopped you there.
Thank you very much. Yes, we started talking about this scientific movement and struggle that got started with Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, because there were struggles for power between Umayyad and Abbasid, and so he had a good opportunity to hold some classes.
What made it so good? What's so significant about the Abbasids and the Umayyads fighting over? At the end of the day, the Abbasids also had a tight lock on the Imam alayhi salam.
Yes, of course.
So what's so significant about the stage?
Well, they actually, all of their powers, their attention, were focused on the matter of rulership and power. So Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam got a good opportunity to hold some classes, to speak, to communicate with people. But Al-Imam al-Sadiq himself was killed by Mansur al-Dawanighi, the second Abbasid caliph. Okay.
So they let down their guard at that time, the Abbasid caliphs.
Yes, of course. It was like this. Multiple outstanding scholars were educated and cultured and instructed under Al-Imam al-Sadiq's hand in the way that none of our a'immah had as many students as Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam had.
Why wasn't, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, or for example Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, why weren't they in this manner that they didn't have a lot of companions? And what I personally view, when I look at the sayings, most of our sayings come from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam.
Yes, of course.
And does the different dynasties, the Umayyad dynasty and the Abbasi Khalifa, play a role in this? Because I think the Umayyads, I think they're the ones that closed the door for narrations, writing down narrations
So on. You are talking about the companions and the students of, for example, Al-Imam al-Mujtaba, Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Let me say that from, for example, Al-Imam al-Husayn, there are less than 100 narrations. Only 100 narrations from Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam.
It's very unfortunate.
Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam himself only had 4,000 students.
MashaAllah.
You see the difference between these two occasions. Al-Shaykh al-Mufid, regarding the number of his students, writes, فَإِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْحَدِيثِ قَدْ جَمَعُوا أَسْمَاءَ الرُّوَاتِ عَنْهُ مِنَ الثِّقَاتِ عَلَى اخْتِلَافِهِمْ فِي الْآرَاءِ وَالْمَقَالَاتِ فَكَانُوا 4,000 رَجُلٍ. This is the statement of Al-Shaykh al-Mufid. He says, the traditionalists have collected the name of the reliable traditionist with different opinions and thoughts who have narrated from him, from Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. They are 4,000 men. More than half of Shia narrators from our A'immah, whose names are reflected in the two books of Al-Fihrist wal-Rijal, authored by al-Shaykh al-Tusi, are students of Al-Imam al-Sadiq. 6,429 is the number of the whole Shia narrators in these two books, while 3,238 of them are Al-Imam al-Sadiq's students. The amazing point is that 12 of them are females. 12 Shia narrators from Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam are females and women. Muhammad Sadiq Nashat, the teacher of the University of Qahira, writes, Al-Imam al-Sadiq's house was like a great university that was brimming with great sages and wise men and the people of knowledge. He answered their questions and resolved their scientific problems regardless of their sects, denominations, and their objectives. Hassan ibn Ali al-Washa', one of the companions of Al-Imam al-Ridha, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, the grandson of Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, says, أدركت في هذا المسجد يعني مسجد الكوفة 900 شيخ كل يقول حدثني جعفر بن محمد. In the mosque of Kufa, I saw 900 elderly scholars, 900 masters who said, Ja'far, the son of Muhammad, told me. There are lots of actually information like these, but let me go to a narration that I prepared for you to actually will be able to end this program with this nice narration, so I actually pass some of my information here. Okay, I want to bring up a narration which illustrates the grandeur and majesty of the scientific position of Al-Imam al-Sadiq, even within the eyes of those who considered themselves as his opponents in the field of knowledge. Some narrations that relate his actually scientific superiority over all scholars within his time and span. You know An-Nu'man ibn Thabit, or Abu Hanifa, is the famous Kufi jurist and theologian. He is the founder of Hanafi, School of Thought, which is one of the four actually denominations of Ahlus Sunnah. He is so praised, admired, and respected by Ahlus Sunnah, so he is called by them Al-Imam Al-A'zam or Sirajul A'imma, the greatest Imam, the light of Imams. He resided in the city of Kufa while Al-Imam Al-Sadiq alayhi salam resided in the holy city of Medina. And before he met Al-Imam Al-Sadiq, he actually considered himself as the most knowledgeable scholar within the Islamic world and even more knowledgeable than Al-Imam Al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Al-Shaykh Al-Saduq narrates this tradition. In a meeting, a young man came to Abu Hanifa and requested him to deliver his legal opinion about something. about a specific matter to deliver his fatwa. And he answered him. Abu Hanifa delivered his fatwa and legal opinion about that specific matter. Then one of the scholars of Kufa who was present in that meeting approached Abu Hanifa and said to him, Ya Abu Hanifa, إني كنت العام حاجا وذهبت إلى أبي عبد الله مسلما عليه فوجدت هذا الغلام يستفتيه في هذه المسألة بعينها فأفتاه بخلاف ما أفتيته. يا أبا حنيفة, this year I went on a pilgrimage to perform Hajj, so I went to Al-Imam al-Sadiq, and the very young man was there, and he asked him the very question, but he answered him exactly in contrast with what you said. فقال أبو حنيفة وما يعلم جعفر بن محمد أنا أعلم من. Abu Hanifa replied that, what does Ja'far ibn Muhammad know? I am more knowledgeable than him. I know more than him and better than him. أنا لقيت الرجال وسمعتهم وجعفر ابن محمد صحفي أخذ العلم من الكتب. I've met great teachers and masters and instructors, and I exerted much efforts and attempts in order to take part in their lessons and hear from them. But Ja'far, the son of Muhammad, only has studied books and gained his knowledge through books. This narration goes on to this point that this Kufi scholar says, in the next year, I traveled to Mecca to perform Hajj one more time, so I went to Al-Imam al-Sadiq, may God's peace and blessings be upon him. فَحَكَيْتُ لَهُ الْكَلَامُ فَضَّحِكَتْ ثُمَّ قَالَ. I narrated for him what Abu Hanifa had said, then Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam started laughing. And he said, أَمَّا قَوْلُهُ إِنِّي رَجُلٌ سَحَفِيٌّ فَقَدْ صَدَقْ قَرَأْتُ فِي صُحُفِ آبَائِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى. He's correct in his statement that I am the one who has gained his knowledge through books. I learned my knowledge through the books of my fathers, Ibrahim and Musa. In my analysis, in this statement of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, there is a hint that my knowledge belongs to a totally extraordinary realm, prophetic realm, which ordinary people doesn't have any access to. This Kufi scholar continues saying, in the same meeting, Abu Hanifa came in the meeting and took part in the meeting. I don't want to go over the details that took place in that visit and meeting, but a brief perspective over the things that occurred in this meeting is that Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam asked Abu Hanifa 7 questions, 3 questions regarding the interpretation of 3 ayat of the Holy Quran and 4 jurisprudential questions. But Abu Hanifa was not able to answer any of these 7 questions. In the 5 first questions, he only kept silent. In the 6th question, he said, Wallahi ma indi fiha shay. I swear by God that I don't know the answer of this question. In the 7th question, he said, Ju'altu fidak, la wallah. Ma indi fiha shay. Addressing Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he said, may I be sacrificed for you. I don't know the answer of this question as well. This narration ends in this way, فَقَامَ وَقَبَّلَ رَأْسَ الصَّادِقِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ وَخَرَجَ وَهُوَ يَقُولُ إِنَّهُ أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ. He stood and kissed the head of Al-Imam al-Sadiq and he went out of the meeting repeating this sentence, indeed, he's the most knowledgeable of the people. Indeed, he's the most knowledgeable of the people. Indeed, he's the most knowledgeable of the people.
Thank you very much, Sayyid. Beautiful, beautiful words. I would like to thank the Sayyid for his research. We benefit very, very much. So, brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your grief and sorrow. And please do not forget us from your prayers. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.